Whether you are a systems, to-do list, and productivity fanatic, or you know you want and need a little more of that, but the idea of it makes you cringe, you're going to love this conversation. My guest today is Kathy Dico. She is a process guru and teaches people around accountability with purpose. You can check out her work at asavvymaven.com. That's asavvymaven.com. You've got to check out her work. She brings such a casual, holistic, and unique approach and expertise to finding systems and structures that set you up for success and liberate your time so that you can do the things that truly matter. You're going to love her. Here we go.
I'm Carla Reeves, and this is Differently, a podcast where we explore the ins and outs of what becomes possible when we're willing to think, do, and show up differently to the moments of our everyday lives.
Hey, Kathy, welcome to Differently.
Thank you, Carla. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to geek out on systems and time management with you because we have worked together. I've worked with you and experienced the work that you do. And I think we learned rather quickly that we both really appreciate systems and to-do lists and structures that allow us freedom in other places in our life and help us be successful and all that good stuff. So,
yeah, for sure. It was, for me, it was fun working with you because of that fact. Like, it was just like someone who readily appreciates and, you know, nerds out on processes and structure like me. So it was fun.
I love that. So take us back. I think I read on LinkedIn that you called yourself a process person or a process guru. And so then you talked about being a young little person and, you know, that starting very early on. So take us back to where this all began and what you're doing today.
Sure. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, looking back, like all the signs were there, but, you know, as a kid, like you don't know that what you're doing is, you know, improving processes and creating structure and all that stuff. It's just kind of like what came naturally to me. So, I can remember back to like, I mean, being very young, like, you know, first grade or something like that, and trying to get my chores done very quickly so I could, you know, earn a little bit of allowance and go back out and play. But I don't know that, you know, the process and the structure really kicked in until like fourth grade. And I've got like a vivid memory of when I was like 9 years old and I had just transferred to a new elementary school. And there was a girl in the class who was super quick with her homework. Like, we would do worksheets in class and she was super fast. She would get her quizzes and her tests done really quick. And she was always getting really good grades. And I was like, for whatever reason, some competitive streak was activated. And I was like, you know what, I am going to challenge myself to, you know, beat her in all things, you know, scholastic, I guess. And so I would try to get my worksheets done as quick as possible and get them turned in. And I got such satisfaction from being, you know, beating her to the little turn in tray. Like, it's so silly. But at the same time, like, I think for me, that was a defining, you know, moment, not because it wasn't just good enough for me to like turn things in super fast. Like, if I wasn't getting a good grade, like if I didn't pull an A on whatever it was I turned in, it wasn't good enough. Like, what's the point, right? So I was, you know, that classic, I guess, firstborn, where it's like high achieving, super competitive. And, you know, that's where it really kind of stood out for me, you know, looking back, is like the first time that I was really trying to be as efficient as possible with what I was doing, not just at home, but also at school. And that just transferred into work. So, you know, growing up, I went to Arizona State University, go Devils, and got my industrial engineering degree, which is basically process improvement. And from, you know, they were like trying to pick an engineering degree. Like there's so many of them. And the colleges, when I would interview with them, they're like, do you like talking to people? Yes. Do you like improving processes? Yes. Then you should get a degree in industrial engineering. Yeah, it makes total sense. Let's do this. So that's kind of how it all, you know, manifested into what I'm doing today. So it's essentially process improvement, systems, structure for entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders. So taking already successful businesses that have just kind of hit a bit of a plateau and introducing new ways of thinking and managing your time so that you can achieve your goals with your business, but not sacrifice your sanity, not sacrifice your personal life. So that's kind of where it was all born. It's chores and competing with that classmate in fourth grade.
I love that. You reminded me of when I was a kid, I would make lists of like things to do. So when I didn't like being bored. And so when I would make lists of things that we could do, so I'd have a friend come over and I'd bring out the to-do list and give her options of what we could, what kinds of things we could do and play. And so hilarious, kind of ridiculous, but funny. I had that to-do list.
I like that.
Inside of me since then too. So,
right. I mean, especially in that drive for not being bored. Like I felt the same way. Like I would hurry up to get all my stuff done, but then it's like, so I could do something more fun. Right. So I didn't go as far as having a to-do list of options of things. Like that's next level right there. That's pretty awesome.
Next level. So what lights you up about this work? Like what sets your heart on fire about this?
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing quite like the feeling of working with, you know, a founder, a CEO, an entrepreneur, and, you know, in these times, like on a Zoom call or something like that, but just seeing the light bulb go off where they're like, oh, I can do it however I want. Like that freedom of just knowing that there's no playbook, there's no rules by which things need to get done. It's just what works best for them. And then coming back the next week and having a touch base, and they're just grinning from ear to ear, and you can just hear the joy and the relief in their voice because they tried something a little bit different. They gave their self permission to, you know, get outside their own status quo, their own norm, and it worked. Like that's just pure joy for me. Like I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
Oh, so good. Well, I remember I really appreciated that about working with you because as an entrepreneur, sometimes we do. Like I felt like there's certain ways that things should look or certain systems and rules that I should follow and had tried to follow those systems or rules and like they didn't really work for me. And I'm an avid believer that we have to lean into our own rhythms and, you know, to really find what works in our life and in our business. And I appreciated that about you because you never forced a certain idea or system. You really asked so many great questions and helped me to not only find and create systems that could work or that could alleviate where I felt stuck or felt pressure or overwhelm. But you also helped me to see where I already had systems. I just didn't have them documented. And so do you find that a lot when you're working with people?
I do. So I find both of what you just said to happen quite often when I'm speaking with people. It's, you know, a set way of doing things that came from somewhere, excuse me, external. That's just like, this is how you're supposed to do, you know, your calendar. This is how you're supposed to work from 8 to 5 every day, you know, excuse me. And it's like, who says, you know, like that's why you started your own business in the first place. Was so you could have some more flexibility in, you know, your daily life. And then too, you know, when I say the phrase like systems and process, it's like, oh, it sounds so formal and you've got to have like a certain level of sophistication or automation or something like that involved. But man, I'll tell you, if writing something on a sticky note and putting it by the front door so you don't forget it when you are heading out to, you know, go meet somebody, that's a system. And if it works for you, like, who cares? You don't need to get something elaborate to where you've got automation kicking off a reminder to your phone 5 minutes before your anticipated departure time. Like, ugh, just put a post-it note on there. So for me, it's, you know, I have the ability to recognize a system and recognize when it's working. And I think one of the prime misconceptions that CEOs, entrepreneurs have is that it has to be super sophisticated in order for that system to be effective. And, you know, I just don't think so. Like, if it's working for you and you're going to use it every day, that's your system. And I don't care whether it's a crayon on a post-it note or something far more elaborate. It just has to work.
I have this belief and have seen it in my own life that structure actually creates freedom. And so my question to you is, one, do you agree? And if so, how do you see that unfold for people?
Yeah, I really like structure for myself personally. I do find that it allows me other freedoms. You know, it frees up time for me to do other hobbies and things like that. But I'll tell you what's interesting is structure doesn't equate to freedom for everybody. So when I say that, I'm thinking about when I speak with folks who are in kind of the creative professions. So if you think about, you know, artists, even like marketing and branding, those types of professions, some folks, I'd say probably half the folks that I talk to in those areas, they abhor structure because they feel like it stifles their creativity to an extent where then they aren't happy with what they're producing. So I think it kind of goes both ways as far as like, if you find for yourself personally that structure is a freeing mechanism, then, you know, that's the camp that I happen to be in. And so I find ways to add structure to my day. But secretly, I also rebel against the structure sometimes, because sometimes you just have that day where you're like, I just don't want to do that. And so then I find ways to kind of work within, you know, what are my priorities for the day and make sure I at least get those done and then go horse around after that. So it's a little bit kind of dependent upon, you know, how you personally approach things. And, you know, for those of you who are listening and identify with more on that kind of creative end of the spectrum where you think about structure and you just shudder, like there's ways to work with that so that you're still accomplishing what you need to accomplish to propel your business and your work forward, still spend time with your family, still do your hobbies, but not feel like you've been somehow caged in because, you know, there's X number of things that thou shalt get done today. So I do find it, Carla, like it kind of depends on the person. For me personally, structure is amazing. And then, you know, for other folks out there, I work with them to kind of put in almost guardrails, if you will. Like if you think about like maybe bowling, how sometimes you put the bumpers up so that your ball doesn't go in the gutter. I just try to put some bumpers out there. So then there's ways for those folks to still be productive and creative, but not feel like they've been caged in.
I love that. And I can relate to that too, even like in the creative type of work that I do, that sometimes those bumper rails or, you know, like a container of time actually liberates me to be creative, because sometimes when I have a whole day to do a whole bunch of writing, I find that I sometimes don't get anything done. But if I set a timer for 20 minutes and just get started, my creativity starts to take off. So, What are the biggest challenges you see when it comes to time management and systems? Like what are the challenges you see come up again and again?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things just come right to top of mind. You know, the first one is being almost too aggressive with what you think you can accomplish in a day. And I think that also kind of pairs with the second thing that bubbled right to the top, which is, you know, not having a good understanding of how long some piece of work is going to take you to complete. So when I say those things, like they kind of work together to, you know, if you think about a big project or just some big new thing that you know you need to get done, but maybe you haven't ever done it before, like launch a Facebook community page or, you know, start an email marketing campaign for your business, something along those lines. If you've not ever done it before, our natural tendency as humans is to overestimate how long that's going to take. And the longer you put it off, like today, it's probably going to take a couple hours. And if you let it go till Monday, now you've simmered on it all weekend. And it's like, that's going to take 4 hours. And by next Wednesday, now it's 8 hours. And now you can totally talk yourself out of doing that extra project or that required project because, man, it's going to take 8 hours. That's an entire day. I don't have a day. Not going to do it. And that works against us because, like you had just said, and this is one of my mom's favorite techniques for us as kids to get us to just clean your room was to set a timer for 15 minutes and just get started on it. And I still use that to this day because it's like you said, if you just start on it, then it becomes a thing that's not so scary. It's not such a huge weight on your shoulders. Is it going to take 8 hours? Probably not. You've probably, you know, somehow inflated that immensely. And it's mainly because you don't know how long it's going to take. So if we think about, you know, that's certainly one of the pitfalls that I find, you know, with those things that we tend to procrastinate on. And if you just set yourself, you know, 15 to 30 minutes one day this week, or I guess next week, you know, whenever you're thinking about it, like just set yourself one day to work on that big scary thing for 30 minutes and just see what happens. And I mean, 99% of the time, that big scary thing is not as big or as scary as you made it out to be. And you just have to spend a little bit of time thinking about, okay, what's the first thing that I have to do? Like if I'm going to create a Facebook community page, what's the first thing I have to do? I don't know, probably come up with a name, because without a name, you can't create the page. So then, you know, just spend your 30 minutes thinking about a name and kind of break it up into smaller chunks. So that's certainly one thing that I see time and time again, where folks just overestimate something that they've never done before. The second part of that was, you know, like trying to do too much in one day. And this is where, you know, when I work with folks, I don't ever do it either. Just kidding, right? Like it's one of those like classic things. Like think about, you know, Carla, you're getting ready to go on vacation, right? So you're going to try to cram all kinds of stuff in before you go on vacation, because now that priority has ratcheted up. And we all do this, right? Like, yeah, I'm going on vacation here in a couple months, and I'm going to do the same thing. And I'm going to try to get all this stuff and cram it all in so that I can slide into vacation and feel like, ah, got all that done. Well, think about that day before you go on vacation and just how frantic it is. Like, you're just trying to dot every I, cross every T, send every last email, set up every last meeting, whatever it is you have to do. And it's, I mean, it's just pure chaos and it's not sustainable. I find that when my clients start with time management, man, they just want to just dive in and let's just do everything all at once. Well, that's not sustainable either. And so we have to kind of throttle back on our expectations there. And my advice is, you know, really just think about what you can accomplish in a day where you personally have enough energy, enough fuel in your tank to give that piece of work, that client, that whatever, the justice that it deserves and your full attention, your full effort. And when we start thinking about it in those terms, then, you know, there's really only so many things that can get done in a day. And, you know, have a couple of breaks and, geez, eat lunch at some point during the day, right? Like, there's only so much that we can do and be effective at it. So, you know, there's fast and there's effective. And fast, like how I was talking about earlier with my homework, fast isn't always the best, because if you're just putting in a 50% effort, like the output's not, it's not going to be the best, and it's going to create rework for you later. And that's just a waste of time. So that's, I don't know, that's kind of the two things that just percolate right to the top is, you know, don't try to do too much in a day, and, you know, be reasonable in your estimations. And if you've never done something before, just set a timer for 20, 30 minutes and just try it and see what happens.
Such, so good. So good. And there's so many rabbit holes I want to go down with that, but right. There's so many places we could go, but that, what you described, you know, the mountain out of a molehill kind of thing that we do in our brain, when we're estimating how long something's going to take. I had something happen a few years ago and it really changed the way I approach projects. And I was doing that exact thing. You know, I had a project that I kept procrastinating on, that in my brain, it was like it was going to take 2 or 4 hours. And I just couldn't find that chunk of time. And so it just kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And one night I was cooking dinner and I was getting ready to set the timer to cook rice. And I thought to myself, like, I knew I had to start making some traction on this project. And I thought, I'm just going to, while the rice is cooking, I'm going to get started on this project. And I literally finished it. And I was just floored at what I got done in a 15-minute window when my brain had told me it was going to be 2 or 4 hours. So I love that strategy that you're recommending. I think it's so effective. And whether you finish the project or not, you make enough traction where you're like excited to either continue it or shift gears, or you're informed in some way that allows you to move forward. So good.
Yeah. And I think that informed piece is really the key, because like you say, you're either going to get it done, or now you know what your next step is, or maybe you identify that you need some help, right? Like maybe this just isn't in your wheelhouse and you sat there for your 30 minutes just staring at your computer screen going, like those are eye-opening moments. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you can spend your next 30 minutes thinking about, who do I know who could help me with this, instead of
right.
just trying to jam that square peg into the round hole.
Yeah, so true. And then the other piece that you talked about, you didn't say this, but what I heard was quality over quantity. And that's one of the things I just really respect about you and your approach, is that's such a good reminder, you know, to be present when we're going through some of these to-do lists, so that we can put the important energy and focus and quality and attention to like these very important pieces of our work and our day. And the impact of that, I'm sure there's a huge ripple impact of that, not only on our quality of our well-being and the urgency in which we're moving, but on the outcome and the product we make.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you think about it, you've had the days, I've had the days, everyone listening has had the days where you finish up work, it's been a whirlwind day, you're feeling productive, but you are just, man, you're just wiped out. You have no energy. And it's all you can do to take yourself now from your home office to your couch. And just, man, the thought of like finding something new on Netflix to watch is exhausting. So you're just like, whatever. And you just veg out for 2 hours and then go to bed. I mean, we've all had those days. But if you think about it, you know, what you just said, you know, Carla, is like, you've actually done yourself a disservice, because you have given all of your energy to work and you forgot about your family. You forgot about your own hobbies, your own personal interests, the things that refuel you outside of what you're doing for work. So that's another way to kind of think about, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know, like I got all this work to get done. Well, that's where time management techniques can kind of help to balance the energy that you're giving during your work day so that you still have enough gas in the tank at the end to, you know, hang out with your family, to spend time with them, to do whatever hobbies you have interest in. Like I like to load up my paddleboard and go to the lake. And man, there are days where I'm just like, oh, can't even, I mean, the thought of just lifting my paddleboard into the truck is just like, nope. And that's not where I want to be. Like, I want to be where I have plenty of energy to, you know, go refuel myself outside of work. So I think that's the kind of that natural work-life balance that starts to take place. And if you just focus on your work and getting that time management techniques and those things, you know, really, where you're practicing good habits there, it just naturally flows into outside of work time, which is really the most important part of our lives anyway, right?
That's so true. So true. Well, and it sounds to me, and I experienced this in working with you, but that you also sort of have an eye always when you're working with people, you have sort of that big picture in mind, and you have, you know, like their energy is also on the radar to say, like, are you not just managing your time, but managing your energy? That was a game changer for me when I learned that I could actually focus on managing my energy and how that helped me use my time more effectively. And yeah, amazing. So is that something that you intentionally weave into the work you do with people?
I do, because I mean, I have been on the bad end of that scenario. So, you know, long before I started Savvy Maven, I worked in corporate for 20 years. And I mean, there was a point in time where I was burnt out to the point where I was physically ill, and I had to take like a month off of work to just be able to, you know, keep working. And when I came back, I had to set very strict boundaries. And what I noticed was that, and this, I mean, I think everybody kind of experiences this to some extent, but, you know, the only person who's going to look out for your time and your energy and your health is you. So I had to start putting systems in to make sure that I wasn't overcommitting myself and overcommitting, you know, my energy to my work, because I needed that to actually heal my body. So I would work short work days, but then just sit on the couch and just kind of, you know, hang out because my body was repairing itself. Well, you know, if I gave that all to work, now my body doesn't have enough fuel to get me well to continue working. So I had to set some things in place where I would only take on like one new assignment from, and at that time, my boss. But I mean, for those listening, you could think about it as a client or, you know, a partner or something like that. But like, I could only take on one new thing a day. Because if I, what was happening was I was getting like bombarded with, here's 6, 7, 8 things that all need to be done by tomorrow. It's like, yeah, I definitely don't have the energy to do a good job on any one of those things. So you've got to pick one and then tell me when we can do the other 7. So that was a lesson that I had to learn. So it's just always back there on the back burner for me when I'm working with my clients, because it's just so important to a holistic approach. And that's like, that's where I think I'm a little bit different than, you know, other coaches, other consultants that are out there, is I'm looking at the whole thing, even though we're only focusing on work. That's where it starts. And that's where we can get the most control and then learn those habits to then start applying to other areas, which is what makes, you know, life so whole, so fulfilling for everybody. I don't know. It's just kind of where I came from, you know, and what I've been through. Yeah.
There's so much depth and richness in that. And I see in the work I do with clients, I see people doing exactly what you said, is wait, kind of waiting for work or waiting for their spouse or waiting for the people in their life or waiting for their manager to, you know, give them a better workload and a better balance. And That's my advice too, is that's not going to happen. That is up to you. And if you're willing to work all day and all night, they're going to let you.
For sure.
So how do you help people? Like, I mean, just maybe a quick tip or strategy around if you find yourself, you know, doing that, what's a simple shift or strategy that people can begin to make a shift in that?
Yeah, I've got kind of a two-part answer there. The first one is critically important, and that is just to recognize that it's happening. So this feels and looks different to every individual person because we're all different, right? But like if you're working long hours, if you're doing the just barely make it to the couch to Netflix and chill all night scenario, if you're waking up super early to get tasks done because your brain was obsessing over them and you're just like, oh my gosh, if I don't get those done, like they're super important. If you find yourself in those positions, if you find yourself working sun up to sundown, you know, these answering yes to any task that comes your way, like these are all kind of symptomatic of it's advantageous for you to look at what's happening and recognize that there's something that's out of balance. So I think that's the first key. And then the second piece when it comes to that is prioritizing. And that's, you know, kind of like a super huge concept, right? To just say like, oh, just prioritize, like it's so simple. But thinking about what is critically important for your work, your life, your family, your health, you know, those things, and actually writing them down someplace. Like they don't have to be public information, certainly. They can be in a journal, they can be just wherever, but figure out what your priorities are and then start to kind of stack and align things towards your priorities. Is work one of them? Sure, because you know, we all need to sustain this the livelihood that we have. So we need to give some focus to that. And then, you know, if you find yourself like giving too much to work and working a lot of hours, then it's probably time to look at where are you spending your time? And are those high priority things? I can tell you that I was spending my time on the smallest, most minute, low priority items because in my own brain, I had prioritized them very high. But in fact, when you ask the person, when do you need that by? They have no idea. They're just like, I just need that done. And if we just ask a simple question to put the ball kind of back in their court and see when they really need the work done, I find that is a very effective and game-changing conversation to have because now you're starting to look at where should you be spending your time. And it's not that you're not going to do it. It's just not now. And hey, I could get it done by next Friday. Does that work? Sure. Okay, cool. And then you just work towards that deadline. I think those are, you know, some of the blind spots, if you will, that we have where it just seems like all the work coming our way is all high priority, but it's not. And if you sit down in a quiet space and think about what your true priorities are, work and otherwise, and start listening for when the work that comes to you is not on the high priority list, then you'll start to know to ask those questions and get work off of your plate. It's not overnight. It's not like flick a switch and blammo, you know, work-life balance, but it's something that if you practice it for a few weeks, it'll become a habit and then it will all kind of start to fall into place.
Yeah. You know, there was my eye-opening moment was, I was working with a coach years ago and I had, you know, told him like, I'm out to create an extraordinary marriage. And a few weeks later, he had me do some time tracking and writing down how I was spending my time. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, getting quiet and writing and writing, you know, what are those priorities? What are those big rocks? And, you know, how are you spending your time today? And do those things match? That was really huge for me, because what I discovered was that here I was declaring that I'm creating this extraordinary marriage, but in reality, my husband was getting the breadcrumbs at best of my time. And that I made a huge change, and I still work a lot. I love to work, and work is a huge part of my life, but it was just some simple adjustments to make sure that my time reflects that my marriage and my husband is a priority. It just getting the data down and the goal down was the information I needed to make those just slight adjustments. So you're right. It doesn't have to be huge, sweeping changes. Yeah, I love that. So Kathy, I'm sure people are inspired and listening to you and hearing what you do. What does it look like to work with you? What is that? Give them a sense of what that looks like.
Sure. So I try to keep things, pretty low key, I guess. My style is to meet you at where you are. So I think I was kind of saying that a little bit earlier. Like, I don't have any, software that I expect anybody to use for a system or anything like that. It's more like, tell me about a typical work day or work week for you. Tell me what's working. Tell me what's not. And I can kind of listen between the lines there to kind of hear, all right, so here's an area of opportunity. And what if we just try like just one change and, see how that resonates with you. And then if that's something that sounds good, then like, let's give it a rip and then we'll check in next week and see how it's going. So I don't start out. And I think for some folks, this might be a little bit like strange sounding, but I don't start out with an end in mind, because obviously the end is for you to be feeling better about your work-life balance and to be more productive at work so that you can have, more, holistic life. But how we get there is different for every person and the pace is different. So I don't try to pigeonhole anything into a certain like span of time or anything like that. It's more like, let's see what's working for you. And, we meet each week and talk through what worked and what didn't. And then, if there's something new to tackle and you feel pretty good about that habit that we worked on last week, then we'll add a new one. So it's just incremental changes as opposed to, big sweeping cut all sugar out of your diet. Like it's just not going to work. So that's kind of how it typically goes. And then, I also work with smaller companies. So, those kinds of sizes that have like 50 employees or less. And those tend to be longer engagements, but those are fun too, because then there's a lot of personal dynamics happening in there to work with and try to make sure that the whole company and all of the team members are functioning well together. So those tend to be a little bit longer, whereas the individual engagements, 2-3 months, and then you've got the tools that you need, to succeed, and you've built the habits to where you can practice those successfully on a regular basis. And, I'm always there if you need me, if you want to reach out and talk again. But, what I have found is, most folks after a couple, 3 months are in pretty good shape to, hit that next level in their business and in their life. And it's for me, it's super rewarding to have that happen, because I enjoy seeing others succeed. So I think that's where I get, just so much fulfillment from this.
So good. So good. What, as we close, what's got you lit up today in your business? What are you excited about? What's next? Like,
I think, as far as like what's happening now, working with small companies, working with individual clients is where I'm at currently, and just having a lot of fun with that. I'm a big problem solver. Like, I enjoy, kind of thinking about things and all the complexities and trying to find something that's going to work for, you know, each of my diverse set of clients. But as far as like what's coming up in the future, I have, you know, a vision where I want, and I'm actually working on just the early stages of it now. I want to have, you know, like a Facebook community where, and it, I mean, I say Facebook because that's the medium that I'm choosing, but it doesn't have to be just there. But, you know, a community where, you know, it's an open dialogue between me and the members of said community where we can, you know, do some problem solving together and bring hiccups that are happening in your life and bring them to me and see it, you know, how I can help solution using my expertise and my background. And then, you know, have those community members help each other too, because like, I just have one point of view, and for some people hearing, how those techniques have been successful for others is really the fuel that helps them, you know, to try to make a change in their life. So that's kind of what's happening. Probably like a mastermind, you know, something along those lines is kind of the concept there. But who knows? I could see that starting up. And if, you know, things kind of open up in the world as they appear to be doing, then maybe having some in-person stuff happening, maybe doing some retreats where we get a cohort of community members together in person and start supporting one another and bonding on that level so that we're even more connected outside of those retreat times and are able to help and call upon one another. I just think building the community and, you know, sharing what I have and inspiring others to share the techniques, experience, and success that they have had is really kind of where it's at and kind of the next level for me.
Exciting. So can you leave people listening who maybe want to, are excited about this and want to maybe start with one thing today? Is there one thing you want to leave everybody with?
That's a fantastic question, because there's just like for each person, it's just so a little bit different. But I think, you know, the technique, the exercise that tends to be the most eye-opening, the most catalytic for people that I talk with is, you know, Carla, what you were mentioning earlier about just write down where you're spending your time and see if that lines up with your priorities. And if it doesn't, then, you know, it's probably time for you to think about making a shift in where you're spending your emotional currency, where you're spending your energy, so that it better lines up with what you really want to do with your life. I think that's probably the first start, the first step towards that recognition. It's just getting that data in to say, I am not spending my time where I want to be spending it, and, you know, kind of going from there.
So good. And putting a stake in the ground and just saying, you know what, it's going to start to be different. And so good. Mm-hmm. So Kathy, I just so appreciate knowing you. You know, we met on LinkedIn, which is cracks me up. Like, yeah. And we've known each other for a while now. And I just really appreciate, having you in my circle. And I loved this conversation, and I think it would be fun to have you come back and just, we could dive deeper into time or habits or strategies, or I don't know, but I think that could be super fun. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely, Carlin. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I mean, it's, I don't know, like you said, we've known each other for a while now. So it was a fun dialogue to have and just kind of share a little bit, you know, with each of our backgrounds and what we have been up to and kind of how we got to this point. And happy to come back. I mean, I feel like we only scratched the surface. Some of these things are several layers deep, but happy to come back and, you know, kind of take that next evolution there, if you will, and start looking through that next layer.
So good. Let's do that. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Differently. I hope it stirred your thinking and I invite you to take one inspired action from something that stood out to you. If you want to hear more conversations like this, hit follow on your favorite podcast app. And if this episode could impact someone you know, please pass it along. Remember, new episodes drop weekly. See you next week.